there. It's Amy Schmidt, your host of the Fearlessly Facing 50 and Beyond podcast. I am so happy that you have chosen to spend time with me. As a reinvention confidence expert, along with a storyteller, I've shared quite a few things along this journey. But what I've found is the most important info to share are stories. Stories of amazing people, ordinary people, extraordinary people doing things that are going to inspire you to action. So come and join me in this space because you're going to be inspired. Let's get started. It's our time. Hey there, it's Amy, and welcome to this episode of the Fearlessly Facing 50 and Beyond podcast. I'm so excited, and I say excited because that word brings a smile to my face, and I'm just so happy to bring you this message, this guest, this insight, this knowledge today. Before we get to the guest, I want you to think about something. And I mentioned in last week's podcast that we are launching a campaign over here at Fearlessly Facing 50, and that is advice to your younger self. If you listen to the episode I dropped, I believe it was episode 180. I'll link it here to the episode notes so you can just click on it and listen. It was a compilation of a lot of the guests I've had over the last 4 years. And the one question that I ask them at the end is the one I ask everyone, and that is, if you're sitting on the couch and you look over and there's the 30-year-old version of you, what advice would you give them? It's something to really think about, and I want to challenge you with that. I want you to think about the advice that you would give your younger self, your authentic advice. I don't want you to scroll through social media or go to Google and Google the best answers to what advice you'd give your younger self. No. This is you, authentic you. I want you to answer that question. When you do, you can go ahead and send it to me on email, amy@fearlesslyfacing50.com. 50 is spelled out. Shoot me a message on Instagram. Of course, it's fearlesslyfacing50. Or on Facebook, it's fearlesslyfacing50. So go ahead and think about that because I want you to be part of the campaign. I want to spread this knowledge to the generations behind us so that they can go on being their best confident self. So think about that. Now I want to bring you my guest, Dr. Lindsay Harper. She is amazing, and you will enjoy this conversation so much. She is the founder and CEO of Rosie, and you can find it at meetrosie.com. I'll link everything to the episode notes, but it's a personalized plan that works for you around sexual health. And we know that sexual health is not one size fits all. It's personalized. And you will get a personalized wellness plan that brings you evidence-based guided path to sexual wellness, created by experts. This is a topic I love to dig into and share insight around because I think it's something a lot of times we get stopped in our tracks. We get stopped in fear. We don't ask the questions we really want to ask. And Rosie is a community that has brought together these questions and this knowledge that we need to move through the world and our sexual journey with confidence. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with the one and only incredible Dr. Lindsay Harper. Well, welcome to the show today. As you heard in the intro, I'm getting away from the excited word because I got a little feedback on that Amy uses excited too often. So I'm changing the word to I'm thrilled to have this guest with me today. I have been using this app. We're going to put everything on the episode notes so you can be introduced to this app. But I want to tell you that this is a topic that is really important, not only for women over 50, but younger generations, the generations behind us, to really become confident in kind of getting their sexual story, their sexual experiences, being able to share those without it feeling taboo or without insecurities or without breaking out in a rash. You know, you want to be, after this discussion with Dr. Lindsay Harper, I'm hoping that for those that are listening right now before we start, that are kind of sitting on their hands and so want to raise their hand and have that question and have held back, that you're able to do that. You're able to open the dialogue on women's sexual health, you know, sexual experiences and our stories and create confidence around it. So Dr. Lindsay Harper, the founder of Rosie, the app that we're going to talk about, I'm just so happy you're here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. And what a powerful introduction. That is definitely my hope for everyone, every woman in the world as well, is that she will feel you know, educated and empowered and strengthened by community, which is what you're creating. And there's just nothing more powerful than all of us kind of standing up together for our experiences and our health. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited for this. So let's dig in. Let's first of all, just talk a little bit. I always like to hear kind of the story behind the brand. So just give us a little download on kind of your background and why you're so passionate about what you're doing now in this space.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I am an OBGYN and I was in practice. I live in Dallas. So here for 8 years. So that was after training. So an OBGYN for 12 years. And what happened over my course of practice was that, you know, I became closer and closer with my patients. The more experiences we had together, infertility, pregnancy, you know, cancer diagnoses, all of these different life events that happen. And my patients sort of in the last half of my practice were starting to share with me their sexual health concerns. And this was different because most of the problems that women were coming to me with, I had been trained and knew how to handle for them. And, you know, could walk while holding their hand through the problem. But sexual health concerns were not the same. And that's because I hadn't received any training. And so I was like, man, why do so many of my patients have problems with this? What is going on? And so I started asking my partners and they were like, oh yeah, like this is a huge deal. And I was like, well, did I miss it in residency? I had a baby in residency. Like maybe I missed it. You know, no, it wasn't that. No, OBGYNs around the country, around the world, no one's talking about women's sexual health, right? And that is in direct contrast to the training we're receiving for men's sexual health, even as a medical student. So before I had specialized, I spent 2 weeks in an erectile dysfunction clinic at the VA, right? So even the government's involved in men's sexual health.
Yeah.
And no one is talking about it. Doctors aren't being trained. You know, research and development dollars are not being spent. And so what I ended up learning because I became a fellow in this area and learned that 43% of women have a sexual concern. So, and that's probably even an underestimation in my experience, but that's a big number. So half of women in the world have a sexual concern. And yet we as women's health experts are not even trained to treat them. Like it's just, it blows the mind. Mm. And so to think this was in like 2019, I was like, you know what, if nobody's done anything about this now, like at this point in our history, who's to say that this is going to change? And I felt like I was really in a position, you know, to say, okay, I'm a doctor. I'm so passionate about this. You know, I have entrepreneurs around me who could support this journey. Like if I don't do it, who's going to do it? And also, what am I going to tell myself about not doing this? You know, I just felt obligated to. And so I took that leap, that cannonball, if you will, and I have never looked back. I mean, it's definitely not easy, but it's so worth it. And it's so fulfilling. And I just love talking about it every day.
I love that. I love you said cannonball because that's my thing. Cannonball with confidence. That's what it's about. Being uncomfortable, but yet getting comfortable with opening the dialogue about these things. I want you to take me back to because, you know, you're sitting in with a patient and all of a sudden they start talking about this. Now, you know, I don't want to say we always feel rushed when we're with doctors, but sometimes you do feel rushed. You feel like, oh, okay, well, how much time do we have? Take me back to that conversation with that person. I mean, did you go home that night and think, wow, I'm happy that they were able to share that with me because that's such a comfort for you as a physician. You must be outstanding in what you do because for somebody to really bridge that gap, that's challenging.
It is. And yeah, I mean, for me, there are so many instances I can remember specifically because this was such a pivotal moment in my life and in my career. But another thing that really made an impression on me was not just one visit, but the number of visits where we were talking about this stuff. And at the beginning, I wasn't even asking about it. I wasn't even asking my patients how their sexual health was. They were at a breaking point in their lives where they were just raising the white flag, like anybody, please help me. And so, you know, there's so many moments like that, honestly, as an OBGYN, where you're sharing such like a personal moment of trust with a patient, whether it's about, you know, a pregnancy loss or about an STI or about painful sex or, you know, insert uncomfortable, vulnerable problem here. And that's kind of our jam. And so this was no different than that. The problem was that I could see the hurt and the pain and there was nothing I could do. Like I just wasn't equipped. And that's really what sort of propelled me into action to try to figure out, like, not only what I could do as a physician, but also how could I empower physicians across the world that when they are encountering this problem as well, they have something to tell their patients about so that their patients don't go home and their shame and isolation has been compounded because right. their physician, whom they trust, didn't know what to do either. Right. And so really, it was not only to alleviate my, you know, shortcomings, but hopefully the shortcomings of, you know, the medical community as it stands for women today, and to push us all forward and to say, hey, this isn't right. We need to take personal responsibility as a medical community for the health of our patients, and that includes their sexual health.
Mm. So really educating yourself and other physicians and building community, which is where we all thrive, because I say right. it in every episode, people need people. And Absolutely. Once you start making those connections, all of a sudden this guard drops a little bit and you're like, okay, now I don't feel like I'm alone in this. But everybody's right. path to sexual wellness, I guess, is different. You know, some may sure. have experienced sexual trauma, or maybe it's a body image issue, or maybe it's a desire issue. So walk us through that. How can we make progress and move forward in creating more confidence around our sexual experiences?
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite sex therapists, her name is Lori Mintz. And if you don't know who she is, she's awesome. You should look her up. Mintz. Mm. She says that everyone's sexuality is as unique as their fingerprint. And that is just so empowering, I think, right? Because we all bring so much to this idea and this activity of sex. We bring the education that was or was not imparted to us. We bring past sexual experiences. We bring sex messaging, whether it was sex positive in our household, whether it was sex negative, sex is dirty, sex is bad, sex is shameful. Mm-hmm. We bring medical conditions, right? There are plenty of medical issues that affect our sexual function, from depression to diabetes to lower back injuries and pain. It's really interesting because we appreciate that for men, medical problems can cause sexual issues, but for women, somehow it's all in our head, right? But for women, there are true medical conditions that can affect sexual function as well. So we have to make sure we've ruled those out. And then also, you know, to your point, we want to make sure that any other environmental or relational issues are addressed as well. So because it feels, you know, in medicine, it's given the moniker of Pandora's box, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to mm-hmm. open it because you don't know what will fly out. But the fact of the matter is it's not that complicated. And just like doctors treat depression, doctors can treat sexual issues as well. There is a medical component which we are responsible for. There is a relational component to which we can refer patients to therapy or to, you know, help improve communication between partnerships. And there is a re-education component. So when we really distill it down to its parts, then we can start to take action in a way that doesn't feel intimidating, it doesn't feel overwhelming, and it doesn't feel hopeless. But unless mm-hmm. we have access to that information and to these open and frank evidence-based conversations, then we're not going to get from A to B, you know, where we need to go.
You know, it's funny because recently I was out with a bunch of girlfriends and we were talking about things, and as we do, and I always feel like I'm kind of leading the charge on some of these topics that, you know, oh, so how's your sex life? We don't go that deep, but a little bit we do. But one thing that was interesting in our conversation, there was a common thread around when we were younger and had younger kids. So say when, you know, I'm almost 53. When I was in my 30s, I would go into my doctor and I'd say, you know, the sexual desire just wasn't there. I was missing it. Oh, you're probably tired. It's fatigue. You've got little kids running around. You're exhausted. And everybody in my group, about six of us, they were all like, yes, I remember saying that when they were little. It was because we were tired. Well, all of a sudden now we're at this age, and it's kind of the same thing. Our kids are grown, but we're still tired. So, sure. You know, it's funny. I don't know. I do find that a lot of people that write in to me and have questions around this, which we can dig into those on another episode. But, you know, people just, they kind of, I don't know if they lose the desire, if they're too tired, if they lose their confidence, but what is it?
Yeah. Okay. It's a mix of things, right? But one key element is that for many of us, desire starts out as spontaneous, meaning we right. might have thoughts of sex or even feelings in our body that make us want to have sex, right? And that may happen when we're in our teens, our 20s, maybe our 30s, if we have kids later.
Yes.
And then as we age and as we get more and more stress of family, of, you know, life, and we have start to have changes in our bodies with the way they look, but also the way that, they function because of hormones or neurotransmitters in our brain, then oftentimes desire can change from spontaneous to what we call responsive, which means, and you might hear this a lot as well, I do, which is that, you know, I really don't ever feel like having sex, but when I start having sex, I kind of get into it and it feels good. And I'm pretty glad I did, you know? So it's a little bit like exercise, right? Where we know it's good for us. We know it has health benefits. And actually when we do it, we feel really good, but we don't ever actually, maybe some of us do, really want to do it, right? And so there's this idea of if we can get in this positive thinking about sex, if we can attribute some of the same qualities to sex that we do to exercise, then we can actually reroute that pathway in our brain to think, instead of thinking, oh, sex takes away from my sleep, because that's what a lot of us think, because everybody's, you know, it's like, oh, it's 10:15, let's go.
Exactly.
And then I'm like, oh, wait, you know, it's 11, it's way too late for me to go to sleep. But if we think about it as a health benefit, a relationship benefit, and also something that we like to stay attached to in our lives, most of us, right? We don't want to lose that part of ourselves because it feels like giving up something really big. Mm-hmm. And so if we think about it in those ways, and then we take actions to try to incorporate sex positivity back into our life, that could be through reading erotica.
Right.
So what erotica can do for us is it starts this thought in our brain, right? Oh, okay. Maybe sex isn't so bad. It's kind of one of those primers that can kind of get you ready for whatever, you know, actions that you want to take in your life. And to be clear, we're not trying to, you know, make someone else, like our partner, happy. Really, this is for us, and the benefits to us personally are great enough to want to, you know, take these actions for ourselves. But I think because of the time of life when you are so tired in childbirth, sex gets taken from a positive bucket and put into a negative bucket, and it just kind of stays there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to do some work to excavate it back out and find the joy and the connection and the real benefits that sex has to offer, you know, all throughout life.
Exactly. I love that.
I don't know about you, but the way I start my day is usually with a cup of coffee. And you know, I love to share brands with you, of brands that I love, and I happen to really love this brand of coffee called Four Sigmatic. So wake up your mind with premium organic coffee that's really, really good for you. It isn't just a regular cup of coffee. It's actually coffee that enhances focus, boosts your mood, and even supports your immune system. So we certainly need that this time of year. So it's delicious, it's loved by thousands, and you know what? You can try it risk-free. If you don't love it, you can get your money back. So you got to check it out. Four Sigmatic Coffee. It is the real deal. You can go to go.foursigmatic, which is foursigmatic.com/BTG, and you get 30% off. That's a pretty good deal. So start your day with a Four Sigmatic cup of coffee.
So for you that are just joining, might just be tuning in now, or might have stepped away for a minute and put your earbuds back in, I'm with Dr. Lindsay Harper, and we're talking about sexual health, and we're talking specifically about an app that we want to get into now called Rosie, which is really interesting. Now, I want to say, are you at, now you might not know this, hashtag NFFT. Wait, NTTF. NTTF. See, there you go. Have you ever heard NTTF, non-tech founder? Because you're really the founder of an app, right?
I am. Yes. Well, I would say, honestly, I'm the founder of a women's health company.
Because
we're doing a lot. We have the app, which is our platform, but we also spend a lot of time focused on research. Like, what can we learn from this giant user base of women with, you know, sexual health concerns that we can feed back into the medical community to make our knowledge base more robust, right? Mm-hmm. So we're very concerned about user privacy. All of our data is detached from anything identifiable to any user. But we want to make sure that we're able to learn not only from a company perspective, but from a medical perspective to say, hey, we know that women have not been included in clinical trials in the past. Hey, we know that there's very limited research on women's sexual health. How can we as a company, you know, start to really change that and continue to move this ball forward? So while there is an app involved, there's a lot more to it than that, for sure.
Yeah. Interesting. So let's walk through where people would start their kind of their, you know, their relationship with Rosie. How this would be, would they go to your website, which we'll link to the episode notes, or would they download the app?
Sure. I mean, really either or. Probably the best experience is to start at the website so you can kind of understand where we're coming from. I think, you know, whenever we were first building Rosie, it was extremely important to us to get the imagery down, to get the messaging down, to get the inclusivity down, because we know that women are carrying a lot of shame and isolation around these problems. And that's the absolute last thing we ever want them to feel when they come to Rosie. So sometimes coming to the website can alleviate a little bit of anxiety about downloading a sexual health app. And that's the goal. But if you're ready to download, then you can go to the app store and just search Rosie, R-O-S-Y, and then download. And it's a free download. And you can kind of check it out. There's a welcome video for me. And then you take an onboarding quiz,
which
that
is great.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. Right. And it's compiled from scientific questionnaires, which allows us to not only use what we learn to help you with your experience by curating all of your content and also tracking your progress, but it also helps us to say globally, like at a higher level, oh, wow, isn't this interesting? Menopausal women are, you know, dealing with these issues more than we thought, and things like that to kind of help us move the ball forward, as I mentioned. And then once you get into the app, then you're really able to interact with your daily wellness plan, which is a curated content plan based on your on your onboarding questionnaire. We have a library of sex positive and female focused erotica, which is super fun.
Yeah,
there's so much to talk about there. A whole nother 20 minutes. And then we have a community where women can connect, oftentimes for the first time, about their sexual problems. And then we have live events, where we do individual coaching, we have group coaching, and also we've recently launched workshops where we can kind of come together to learn about, you know, a particular topic with enthusiasm, without shame, and in an evidence-based and interactive way.
Wow. That's really incredible. And it's really, you're really blazing a trail for women in this area. You know, I mentioned before we started recording today, I have a daughter and two sons, but my daughter's in her mid-20s. And it's something that we talk about. And I can't say we talk about it often, but I'm trying to be more open about having conversations about sexual experiences and things like that. I did not have that with my mom. And I think most women of my age, I think most, but maybe that's not the case. Let me know, certainly. And let us know after this episode airs, if you were someone that really had a great conversation about sex and things, please let us know. Cause I'm sure Lindsay would like that information too, because my peer group that's around my age, we didn't have those conversations.
Yeah. And I'm in my 41. We didn't either. So that, I think there's a very common thread to pull there. And that's what's so exciting, right? If we can change the way that a generation of women thinks, then that generational knowledge is passed down and history is forever changed. So no work with women is ever one-to-one. The work that you do, the work that I do, because we take that information and light other people's candles with it, like our daughters, like our friends. And that's how it becomes such a powerful change in the world. And that happens with sexuality as well.
How was it with your spouse partner when you decided to, you know, to take this on and to launch this? I mean, those conversations were probably pretty interesting.
Yeah, very interesting, actually. I mean, honestly, I had lots of conversations with my parents, with even one of my trainer, actually, who was here this morning. I was like, do you think I should do this? And she's like, is it going to be weird for people to like view you as like the sex doctor? And
Dr.
I'm like,
Ruth,
well, isn't that the problem? Like, isn't the fact that we have to question whether or not that's acceptable to me personally or to each of us individually, isn't that the issue? And so that conversation in and of itself, just, you know, there's just push after push. And it's like, yes, actually, I'm fine with that. It actually was a metamorphosis for me to be really comfortable with this topic, because like you, I grew up in a house. I mean, my parents weren't like negative about sex. We just never talked about it.
You know what I mean?
It was just kind of silent. And then, but with my spouse, you know, he's honestly like super duper supportive. He is an entrepreneur too. So he really was nervous more about that part. He was like, this is a heart heartbreaking journey. Like, just, yep. I want it to be your journey and not any influence from me. So he actually like made me make the decision completely independently. And at the time I was, I kind of had my feelings hurt, but in retrospect, it was the right choice. And I really appreciate that because he just was concerned for my heart.
Exactly.
It's not like medicine. I'll tell you that much, but
exactly.
You know, yeah. It, as I mentioned, it is really fulfilling and he's been a great support along the way. And my kids are a whole other story. I've got vulva puppets laying around and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So my, all sorts of things.
What my poor kids.
I love it. You know, it's funny because in the 80s, Dr. Ruth Westheimer was big and she would be on an AM radio station or something at night on Sunday nights. And I would go up and do my homework and then I would put that on my radio and listen to it. And I can remember my dad coming in my room one night, you know, for some reason. And what are you listening to, Amy? What are you listening to? You know, and it was Dr. Ruth, and I didn't want to say that, but you know, that's kind of how I learned about sex, to be honest.
Well, that's, you know, that's been my experience. I was also worried about pitching the company to investors, to doctors, to all the things. And what I have found literally 100% of the time is everybody wants to talk about this stuff and nobody wants to bring it up. So if you're the person to bring it up, you're golden. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because people are genuinely curious. And it's because it is such a hard topic to talk about, but people have questions. No, there is not one person who doesn't have a question about sex, like period. Yeah. End of and story.
I love that part of the app and part of your women's health company is really that community part for allowing women to kind of have their questions answered and their stories shared and other people, you know, being vulnerable. And that's where the magic really happens. So I applaud you for that.
Who wants to double their confidence? You've heard me say it many times. Confidence is a muscle. It needs to be stretched and flexed and worked because as we age, our confidence, it ebbs and flows. Well, I am so excited, and I know you've heard about it before, but Kristen Cofield, my partner at Better Than Gossip, who is a culinary disruptor, she is a wellness expert, and I have partnered. And I talk about the mindset part of confidence, overcoming your fear, stepping into your power, telling your story. And Kristen talks about the wellness aspects of confidence, hydration, sleep, nutrition, the things we need, the combination we need that makes us limitless, unstoppable. And we have a course for you. And the important thing about that course and the exciting thing about that course is that you can become an affiliate. You can make a little money with the Mind and Body Confidence course as an ambassador, an affiliate for the course. So that means you take the course. And then what do as women? We share something we love. We share. You can share the course with others. You can be a teacher, a role model, a disruptor around confidence. So check it out, Mind and Body Confidence. You can go to betterthangossip.com. You can purchase the course there for $197. It's a 14-day course that will change your life. It's evergreen, so you can use it over and over and over again. Otherwise, you can go to fearlesslyfacing50.com, 50 spelled out. It's available there as well. So check it out. Come and join us on this journey and double your confidence.
For somebody listening today, because we've got people listening all over the world, if there's somebody listening that is struggling right now and saying, you know, this is really challenging for me. I have a hard time talking with my spouse or partner about it. I don't have a lot of confidence around sex. I'm worried. I'm anxious. What would be one step, a first step strategy for them?
Absolutely. And that is actually a really common circumstance. You know, we can kind of get riled up and feeling empowered as women. But when it comes to the words coming out of our mouth, like it is a really hard thing to do when you've not had it modeled for you. You've not been given the language to talk about it. You've not been given the permission to talk about it. So there are a lot of challenges in our way. And I think the very first thing to do is to start by really feeling confident in your body of knowledge, right? In educating yourself. And so whether that's through an app like Rosie, which is available in the US and Canada, or if you're in a place where it's not, maybe there's a great book. I mean, I could give you a whole list of book recommendations. One is by my friend who I mentioned earlier named Lori Mintz called Becoming Clitorate. I mean, really great read. Wow. I, as a gynecologist, learned so much reading that book, which is scary.
Yeah.
And then there's another book called Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski. These are great places to start. Yes.
Love that
so
book.
Good. Exactly. And then, you know, there's all types of books about menopause, you know, and they touch on sexuality, you know, some more than others. But I think that it all starts with that sharing of information, right? Because then we can start to feel, you know, really more solidified with that knowledge, with that permission, and potentially with those tools to start to talk to our partners. And you may not want to talk to your partner first. You may want to talk to your physician. You may want to talk to your therapist. You may want to talk to a trusted friend. And the more sort of arms you can get linked with yours, then you can feel a little bit more secure in moving forward on this path in your life. But there are tons of resources out there. You are definitely not alone. And that's actually a really common experience that can definitely be overcome.
Yeah, that's so interesting. We want to get past that experience. You know, a friend of mine said when they were having sex, she said, I was picking all the paint colors for my house because I just wasn't present. I wasn't in the moment. It wasn't that I wasn't enjoying it. It's just that I wasn't present. We got to get past that. We have to be present. We have to open the dialogue with our spouse or partner, reach out to our physicians, and really take the reins on it.
That's right.
Operate from a position of power.
That's exactly right. And you know what? I think we can be inspired by our male counterpart to the very first call that they make when they experience erectile dysfunction is to their urologist, right? And so we need to expect and demand the same of the medical community for women. And we've got to keep pushing until we get there. So it's an exciting thing to kind of be on, you know, at this moment in time when it comes to women's sexual health, but we definitely have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, so great. Oh, I love this conversation. So I'll link everything to the episode notes where they can find the website, where they can download the app. I hope that we can continue this conversation because there's a lot more we can dig into. But I've got a question for you. I've got two questions. My first question is, as an entrepreneur and as a physician and as a busy mom and wife and daughter, sister, all those things, how do you balance your wellness and, you know, your self-care? Because that's such a big thing for 2022 going into 2023 now. Sexual health is part of self-care and self-love, I believe. But how do you manage it all? I mean, you've got to be working around the clock.
You know, I mean, this is something that I will compare to sexual health. It is never over, right? It's a constant sort of learning journey. And you do something for a little bit. Maybe you need to make some changes and then you get a new strategy. And for me, that's how it is. I have a coach and I'm obsessed with coaches, as you will see on the Rosie platform. And we were just talking the other day, like I sort of have a mindset of, you know, really working really hard. And that mindset was unfortunately really, you know, cemented during residency and as an OBGYN, because you really work all around the clock. But as an entrepreneur, I really, really wanted to do it differently. But that's not the narrative that startup culture, you know, hands you. And so it's up to me really as the CEO of my company to chart new territories for myself and for my team so that we can be in this for the long game. I do not want to burn out on this journey. I don't want my team to burn out on this journey. And so it's up to me to actually sit down and write out, what did my life look like before that wasn't working? And what can I create for myself now that does work? And how can I trust that is the right path, right? Because that's the biggest thing, is how can we start to trust it and believe it through our actions? And so it is a step-by-step process, one that I am always on, but I am committed to, and I want to model that for my children. And that's the life I want to live for myself as well.
A work in progress, right?
Work in progress, always.
I love it. Hashtag WIP. I say that all the time. I have it in my office. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And it's so true, you know, and it is a balancing act. It's a balancing act. But looking back at where you found joy and success and through those challenges and things, and looking where you want to be, it's always great to self-reflect on those things. Yes. I love that. And last question for you is one I ask everybody. I'm anxious to hear what you're going to say. So if you were sitting on the couch, Lindsay, and you look over and there you are at 30, what advice would you give her?
Oh man, that is so good. I mean, I am proud of the things that I have done. And I would tell her just to trust, once again, this is coming up again, just to trust in that inner voice. Whenever there's a little spark of a little flame, like to blow on it and give it a little oxygen. Because really, cool things can happen, not only just for you personally, but also kind of what you can create in the world. And so I think, you know, most of us who are at least a little bit listening might have that little flame every once in a while, and to just spend some time exploring it. And that was the advice that I was given when I was about 37. And I really value that, because that sort of led me to where I am today and all the possibilities for the future, which look nothing like they were, you know, when I was 30.
Exactly. I love that. Thank you for sharing. Thanks for being a part of this podcast episode and for sharing everything that's going on with you and with Rosie, and how you're really blazing a trail for women around sexual health and sexual wellness. So thank you for that. I look forward to doing more together in 2023.
And absolutely.
We'll be in touch soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me and for cultivating this conversation. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Okay, so I hope that this episode inspired you, encouraged you, and challenged you. Because when we share our stories, they're inspiring. You know what? It's important for people to connect. Connection is key. People need people. So as you go forward this week or today, be a difference maker, be a change maker, not only in your life, but in somebody else's. Reach out with a text, an email, or a phone call. Connection is key. It builds community and it builds confidence. Go forth and be awesome, and I'll see you soon.